Welcome to Career Tools. This week, task management for high eyes. This cast answers these questions. As a high eye, how can I get more done? How can I leverage my strengths as a high eye in task completion? And as a high eye, how can I manage tasks? So Kate, high eyes are always fun to write about because, well, I guess everybody is fun to write about because we can caricature everybody, but I just think that high eyes come out the best because you can talk about them always going to Starbucks and always being in bars. but when it comes to task lists, it gets a bit more difficult because a high eye's mind is occupied with all the fabulous things that are happening right now or will happen in the future and not any of the things they've committed to or uncompleted tasks in the past. Because if it's in the past, it's not important, right? It's already happened. Time to move on. And the high eyes, we often say, have put one foot forward and then drag the other behind. And the back foot only comes if they like where the front foot took them. And yet we do know people who are high eyes and manage to keep track of their tasks and who complete their tasks and who are more successful because people who have those behaviours are more successful. So we're going to try and make tasks list fun and possible for high eyes. Will you give us the outline?
Sure. Our outline for today is, first, we are going to talk about how to make lists fun. Second, how to reward yourself for completion of tasks. And third, how to use other people's strengths to help you accomplish your tasking.
So let's talk about making lists fun. So tell me what you think as a high eye when Mike opens OmniFocus.
You know what's so funny is I have never seen OmniFocus, ever. I've never used it.
Even Mark uses it, which for a high D is not very usual. It's really gray. I always open it and think, it's gray, it's boring, it's complicated, I'm not playing, and I take it away. But it is a lot like a spreadsheet. It's columns and rows, and the tasks have due dates, and you can put in 1,000 different criteria for each task, which is why high C's love it. But it's a lot like running your life from a spreadsheet. So we do have some tracking spreadsheets. What are those like for you?
For me, they're really helpful, but I look at them and I think, okay, this is a lot. And to me, it's the colors that make it really easy for me to focus on things. So all the green stuff, which I'm sure for the other profiles, all the green is really awesome. For me, the green means don't look at this. Mm-hmm. This doesn't matter. That's not important. And then for me, it's most important to focus on the red. I focus on the things that are red because we have our spreadsheets where they turn red as things are coming due. So for me, it's most important to focus on those things. And so the color is really the most important part for me. And other than that, you know, I'm really good at looking at the color and saying, okay, this needs to be done. But there's some extra data in there that I don't even pay attention to. In fact, one of our spreadsheets I just found out 2 weeks ago has a thing at the bottom where you're supposed to, actually I think it's at the top, you're supposed to put your name and the date that you updated it in the line.
You've been using it for 18 months and never known that?
Actually, this one is new, so I didn't know that, but Judy said, oh, I thought you just didn't like to do that. And I said, I didn't even know that existed. I had no idea because I have never used that before and I just didn't know that was there.
And it wasn't in red.
No, it wasn't red. You know, there's a bunch of stuff at the bottom of the spreadsheet too, and I never use those things either.
You're funny. I would have read all of them and then decided which ones not to do because I'm a high D.
So funny about it is that I know that things are going well because we have reporting and we have all these things going on and things are going well, right? The logistics mm-hmm. that I'm responsible for, that spreadsheet controls, are going well. So I don't look at those things at the bottom unless I need them. They have a lot of things about how to ship to China or Australia or the UK. You know, you can't ship markers or batteries. And so when it's time to use those things, great. But I didn't know they were there before then.
And yet somebody has painstakingly written them down. And it isn't you or me.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned colors. One thing we recommend for high eyes, everybody needs a task list manager. You can't get out of that. Everybody has tasks to do and everybody has to manage their task list. And to some extent, it doesn't matter what system you're using as long as it's working. That's the most important thing. And so for high eyes, you can make the keeping of the list or the creating of the list fun. There are task list managers that make noises when you complete things, and they sound like a piece of paper being crumpled up and thrown in the trash, or they have exciting whooshing noises. There are task list managers that are super colorful, and you can change all the colors and you can put your photo on it, and it's really customizable to you. There are some that give you rewards or track your karma when you're completing tasks. I'm using Asana right now, and every now and again you complete a few and you get this little unicorn that flashes across the screen. And I'm not really a person who needs that motivation, but I actually quite like seeing the unicorn. And choose a task list manager that works on whatever your latest gadget is, because we know that you bought one. And choose one that allows you to add faces to the people where you've written a person's name in a task because you need to talk to them or you need some help to do something. Like, be able to put their photo there, because those are the kind of things that appeal to high eyes. And there's no point in managing your task list unbearable when it's so essential.
I agree. I think for me, a lot of it, because I'm really interested in writing things down because that's really helpful to me, I use a notebook. I have a notebook, but of course it's pink and it has my name on it. And it's Moleskine, which I know I'm mispronouncing, but it has a flap in the back for your notes and extra things. And I keep random things in the back of it, like ticket stubs for a flight that I went on that I was going somewhere cool. Or I actually have a parking pass from when I was downtown in one of my favorite cities. And I keep those things in the back of my notebook. And I also am really focused on, I make a little box by each task. And then when the task is complete, I cross out the box, I cross out the task. And then if all the tasks on the page are complete, I make an X at the top of that page so that I can ignore those pages.
Nice. That helps you with focus.
Right. Those pages are gone. And the other thing about my notebook is it has a little ribbon, and I can move the ribbon to the page that still has stuff. So, you know, right now it's three pages behind where my notes are. The ribbon's there saying, hey, this is where you need to go back to do your tasks from before. These are tasks that are still pending. Now, sometimes if I take a lot of notes in a week, because I also use it to take my notes because I travel so much, notes for meetings and things like that. Not everything that's recorded is a task. If I get 4 or 5 pages between me and the ribbon, I'll move my tasks up and make a fresh task page. Because then to me, that feels like my tasks are current, that they're just happening and they're fresh in my mind. For me, the notebook is just what I chose. And now in hindsight, that's probably, for some people, that's not the notebook they would choose. They would choose like a gray notebook, or they wouldn't have a hot pink notebook that they carry around with them everywhere. But that's what works for me because I love those notebooks. They're also hardbacked, which is really great because, you know, if you're traveling, sometimes you have to write on, for example, the tray table. And tray tables are not the most sturdy support system. So for me, that notebook is really specific. And actually, I think someone here at Manager Tools told me you could have them personalized. And I actually personalized and sent a bunch to the whole team because I thought that was like super cool.
Yeah, they are cool. I have one with my name on that you sent.
Yeah, I love mine with my name on it. I think it's great. And I know, like, for a while, Mark had a palm tree on his. I think now he's changed to the little logo that he has. And so he has like a palm tree logo, or I think Danny too has maybe, I want to say it's a pineapple, but I think it's probably a palm tree. And those are just things, you know, that really can get you excited or get you motivated to do your tasking, because this is what makes people successful. It's great to be the most excited person and the most encouraging, the most outgoing or motivating person in the group, but it's also essential that we complete our tasks and that we're effective at making sure that things are accomplished. I mean, in order to support our organization, our team, our managers, frankly, the bottom line, ourselves, we need to accomplish our tasks. All of us high eyes got to work really hard on making sure that the things that we said we would do, the things that have to get done, actually get done. So we can do it. You just, sometimes we think of it as being boring, and it doesn't have to be. It can be a really good time. One of the things that I really like about what we're talking about today is rewarding yourself for when you complete something.
Yeah, you can hear when you describe completing a task that you check it off, and then you check, and then you put a line through the task, and then you complete the page. I could hear how excited you were by the thought of completing it. And I like completing things too, but I don't have check boxes. I just put a line through it, and then when the page looks too messy, I write another page. But it's funny how differently we're all wired. I, as a high D, just the completion of the task in itself is satisfying. And I think high Cs kind of feel that way because they're task oriented, whereas I's and S's are much more, they have to have a little bit more excitement in the task completion in order to feel good about it. Or for a high S, it has to be linked to making someone else's life easier. That's kind of, you know, if you're doing something for your manager as a high S, the fact that you've done something for your manager, that's the satisfaction in the task. But for you guys, you have to make it a little more exciting to actually finish the task and be able to cross it off in multiple ways with probably different colored pens, I would guess, in your hot pink notebook.
So this is a little less high I, but I have a favorite pen. It's a favorite brand. It's a favorite tip width, and I only use black pens, and I have hundreds of these pens. Amazon sells them in 20 packs, and I have a recurring order twice a year to send them to me because I leave pens everywhere because I'm traveling. And if someone uses my pen, I have to get it back because that's my pen. I actually saw someone at a conference in LA, I think, and they had the same pen as me. And we talked about it because I really love that pen. And they have the exact same experience. They love that pen. In that way, I'm probably a little less high eye, but I do get really excited about my pen.
You do. Share with everybody what it is.
Okay. It's a Pentel RSVP black medium point.
So if everybody wants to be as excited as Kate about their pen, that's the one to choose.
Well, I press down really hard when I write. So the fine point will break through the paper. That's what I found out. And I've been using the same pen since high school. Someone had one and I loved it. And I've been using the same pen since then. That's just one of my weird things. I've been using the same notebook too. So
yeah, I think once you find something that works, sticking with it is a good idea. I use the same notebooks. I have to have them imported from the UK because they have a specific line spacing that is common in the UK. And US notebooks, the spacing is either too wide or too narrow for me. And again, they're like yours. They're hardback and they have spiral banding so that I can turn the back over. And thinking about pens, Mark has a specific pen that he uses that actually isn't made anymore. So you have to buy them on eBay.
Yeah.
And it's a very fancy pen, has a nice little pattern on it, and it's got some gold bits on it and stuff. But as I think that's one of his places where his high eye leaks out a little. He has this very specific, very fancy pen.
Oh, yeah. I remember those pens, Parker, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those pens are really, they're really important. So, you know, if that's something that you're really into as a high eye, your specific tools, then maybe that could be your reward for getting your tasks done. You can always set up a reward system for yourself for accomplishing your tasks.
Let's start from the caveman version of us all and come back to where high eyes are. So everybody, all humans, parked way back in our brains when we were cave people, worked on a system of rewards and punishments. So if I chased after a lion and I caught it, I got dinner, which was my reward. And if I put my hand on the fire, my hand got burnt, and that was my punishment. And so now the cavemen are learning, okay, I'm going to do the things that reward me, and I'm going to try and avoid the things that punish me. And we got really good at that. But the problem was the cavemen only lived day to day. Like, do I have enough food and shelter and clothing for today? That was kind of all that mattered. And what's happened as we've got more developed is the rewards get further away. So, for example, you might think, oh, I want to have a beach body for next summer. But when the donut's right in front of you, your caveman says, I want that reward now, and doesn't think about the reward that's way in the future. And high eyes are not any worse than anybody else, but they feel this way about tasks as well. Whereas D's and C's feel like, oh, completion of the task is the reward in itself, and I get that reward straight away. Whereas high eyes see a task and think, oh, the reward's going to be, you know, way in the future. If you're working in sales and one thing you have to do is send an email today to let the customer know the prices for something, for example, that's a boring email that you have to send. And the reward of your sales bonus is way, way towards the end of the month. And so the task list feels like a punishment. Whereas, you know, things like, I'm going to go talk to someone about my best idea that I just had, or my new notebook, or whatever it is, that's a reward right now. You know, I get to connect with people, I get to have a confirmation, I get to have someone tell me that my ideas are fantastic. And putting all the steps to get that idea translated into some finished thing is just really boring. And so what we're saying for high eyes is have the things that reward you now so that the task list is less exciting. So it, like Kate said, if it's the pen that you really, really like and the notebook that you really, really like or the app that you really, really like, then you're bringing the reward for doing tasks into the present rather than having it way out in the future.
Yeah, I think it can be really important to keep, even if you set up a reward that comes with a couple of tasks in a row. So for example, maybe you're working on something and you need to do 5 tasks at a time, or you want to space out your rewards a little bit and maybe help yourself to learn to really accomplish tasks. One thing that I did is I put up a visual reminder. So for example, a piece of paper on my wall where I can make checks or ticks every time I accomplish a task. And then when I get to a certain number, I get a reward. For right now, actually, I'm doing a checklist for myself about going to the gym. And it's a personal checklist, but I'm using a dry erase marker on my mirror in the closet. And I just make a tick every time I go. And when I get to a certain number, then I get a reward. Maybe I get, you know, some piece of clothing for the gym or something like that. I used this before, actually, at my previous role. I was working with someone who didn't have the same profile as me, and I really didn't feel like we had a great working relationship. And I knew that in order to be successful, I had to change that. So I actually put a check mark area on my whiteboard and put my guest chair in front of the whiteboard. And every day when that person came in to talk to me, I would look up at that check mark and say, okay, remember, this is what we're doing. We're focusing on having a positive relationship with this person. And so I would give myself a tick mark every time that person and I had a positive interaction, which was they smiled or laughed during our conversation. And sometimes I didn't really feel like doing that. You know, I had struggled to have a positive relationship with this person. I didn't feel like they were trying as hard as I was. And I just felt frustrated. And that visual reminder for me was a really good way of saying, hey, you have a reason to do this. It was like a little wave. Hey, stay focused. Try to focus on this thing. And so I had been working at this for a while and it was really important. So I gave myself, once I got to 50 positive interactions, I got a present. And the same thing when I got to 100, I got a present. It was a longer lead up, right? It was more tick marks, but that was part of me training myself to do better at accomplishing more tasks before I got my reward. Because sometimes as high eyes, we need to have a little bit of self-awareness there too. So both of those were visual examples of visual reminders, if you will, about the rewards that I was getting. Hey, you're going to get a reward at the end of this. Right now, all you have to do is make this person smile. And so that really worked out for me. It worked really well, actually. The project went great. And I think if you ask that person, they would say that we have a positive relationship. That's not how I feel. I feel that it was really hard and I worked really hard at that. And I remember it being kind of tiring, kind of strenuous. And it can be good to reward yourself.
Yeah, rewards and the visual of how many you've done. There's a famous, I'm going to say it's Jerry Seinfeld, but I don't know that it is. Every time he was writing or every day that he wrote, he got a paperclip and he would clip it to another paperclip. If he'd written for 2 days in a row, he would have two paperclips. And on the third day, he'd add another one, he'd have three. And you start to see the chain of paperclips and you don't want to break the chain. So that's a really good way of motivating yourself. If you struggle with tasks, especially ones every day, you don't want to break the chain. That's one way to do it. The other thing that high eyes can struggle with is the middle of projects. So they love the beginning when it's all exciting, and they love the end when you can have a party. But what they don't like is the piece in the middle. So one way to make that easier for you is to break up the project into sort of mini sections, even if it doesn't fit with whatever project management system your company is using. You know, you can have a section that ends every 3 weeks. You just call it whatever you want to call it. And every 3 weeks, you get to have a little celebration if all the tasks for those 3 weeks are done, or a present or a reward, whatever you want to have. And that way you get to celebrate more often, you get the reward more often than if you've got a 5-year project and you only get to celebrate way at the end. And the agile and sprint methods work really well for high eyes because they're very short periods and they have very specific to-dos. So that's another way, if you read the books about sprints and agile, then you might find a method that helps you. Even if you're not in a programming environment, it works for all sorts of things. And you don't have to have a team that's doing it either. You can do it for your own self. And those two things might help you with getting through the task list in a way that you might not if you don't have any rewards.
Yeah. The one thing that I also really liked to do was I would have my kind of calendar every day, but then on the side of my calendar, when I printed my calendar out for the day, I'll write down the five things, three, five, seven things that have to get done that day. And again, I'll make my little box and write out the tasks. And that way, there's only a few things. And at the end of the day, every day, you could maybe go get yourself a coffee. I had a coworker at Orbital at my previous role, and we would go and get coffee or tea in the afternoon around 3 o'clock. And mostly because we had some later meetings and it was just kind of a good break. But sometimes I would say, I'm sorry, I can't go today because I didn't get all my stuff done. And that way, I was a really good motivation to get those tasks done early in the day, make sure they were checked off, and still get to go to coffee, go to tea with my coworkers. It was actually really effective. And it turned out that sometimes my coworker would say, did you get your stuff done today? Because I really need a coffee at 2 o'clock.
Oh, and now you're like, oh, I really do have to get myself done because there's somebody else involved.
Yeah.
Which is another really good strategy for high eyes, because high eyes love working with other people. Whereas I am the kind of person who would say, you know, when I was at university, we'd have a team project or we'd have to work in pairs or whatever. And I'd be like, okay, I'll do it all and you can just take credit, because I didn't want to. I really am bad at sharing my work with people, and I've got better, I promise. But my natural instinct is I don't want to work with anybody else. And a high eyes natural instinct is, who else can we work with on this?
Yeah.
And, you know, you can use this to your advantage, both by the motivation that Kate just said, and also by things like having other people in a team, or an informal team or a formal one, that have strengths other than yours. So one thing that we just said high eye is not good at is getting through the middle period and finishing things off. So you might have someone you know who's a really good finisher, and they would be on your team, and you'd be the person who was really excited and planning the party, and they'd be the people who were dotting the I's and crossing the T's to make sure the project was actually finished before you had a party. You might not like keeping lists, even though we've tried to encourage you to and tried to make it fun, but somebody else in your team, if you have a high D or a high C, they can keep lists. If you don't want to push everybody to do their tasks, a high D will do that for you. They might not always be nice about it, but a high D will make sure everybody is doing their tasks. So that's a way to both involve other people, which you like, and make up for your weaknesses.
It could be really effective too to think about when you're on a team what the other people's strengths are and to utilize those and assign roles within the team that will really help to leverage those things. For example, I had a project that I was working on previously where I knew it was really high stress because of the turnaround and the deadlines that we were involved in. I asked the person on our team who I knew to be high S to check in once a week and talk to the group, see where their stress levels were at, how are we doing? And maybe that person's skills make it a little easier for them to find out if things are slipping because of stress or worry or it just not being the pace that people are used to. And so I was able to leverage those kind of relationships. My relationship with that person was strong, and I was able to leverage their tendencies and their profile in a way that really helped the group. But it wasn't something that I was going to be good at because high eyes also aren't really great at details. So people are talking and I miss, you know, the trigger words that say, hey, I'm really stressed or things aren't going well. So it's a really good thought process to have. One of the great things about being the high eye is that you know about people a little bit better than some of the other ones, right? You can identify strengths that other people have. And since you are so good at motivating people as a high eye, you can talk to them and help them to get involved in a way that will really leverage all of the profiles while still managing to help you get everything done. And you still get to do the fun stuff as the high eye person, right? So it's really exciting.
This does go for all of the different styles, but the one thing you do have to remember if you're a high I and you're working with one of the other styles is they don't think like you. So for me, if I think as a high D, I'm task focused and assertive. And so I get really frustrated working with high I's because they won't buckle down and actually do what they're supposed to do. And I have to remind myself that they're on my team because I don't have the same strengths as they do. And yes, they have weaknesses, but that's fine. I can smile and be nice and still make them do their tasks. So the benefit of this is working with other people brings in their strengths, but it can make your life more frustrating. So you have to have an understanding of why you brought these people in and kind of try and remember that when they're doing something that doesn't make sense to you.
That can be really tough. And one of the great ways that you might overcome it a little bit is to make sure that you're focused on some little rewards and things like that and positive interactions. Mm-hmm. The technique that I used to increase my positive relationships with or interactions with my coworker were really helpful. And it's something you could leverage, right? I mean, there's so many things that a high I can focus on that will help them to be effective. And you just want to make sure that you're respectful and professional and that you give people your best kind of attitude about the fact that we're all different. It's a little bit like just having some respect for behavioral diversity and making sure that you're keeping everybody focused on the goal, but also that you're paying attention to people, which is something, thankfully, that high eyes really love to do.
Yeah. And even if you're not in a team, even if you're an individual contributor and you don't have lots of people you can bring into your team, you can still help with your coworkers, you can help one another. So if you are a high I and you have someone on your team that's a high C or a more detail-oriented person, there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, I just created this spreadsheet. I know I'm not great at detail. Please, will you check it for me? And by the way, if you need to get in contact with somebody in this department, I know everybody. And so there's a kind of quid pro quo there. If they want new ideas, or they need someone to reach out or a connection, you can offer those things because those are your strengths. And you can ask people to help you when you're or with your weaknesses. This morning, I reached out to Danny and I sent her some writing I'd done, partly because I wasn't sure that it made sense outside of my own head. And so that's nothing to do with her profile, really. It was just another pair of eyes to look at it. But Danny will ask me for a favor soon enough and we'll be back to more or less equal on the favor scale. So that's another way that high eyes can use other people, even though they're not a team manager or they're not in a big team.
That's a really good point. High eyes often know so many people that they can help with finding someone or, you know, introducing people and things like that. And some of the other profiles can benefit from that as well. So we're all kind of in this together, right? We all have our strengths and our weaknesses. And it's good to be as respectful as possible and aware. We have to be self-aware, right? As high eyes, we have to admit that we're not great at follow through and focus some of our massive amounts of energy on those things so that we can be more effective.
Yeah. And there's nothing in any of this series that we're doing on task management and the different styles. There's nothing to say that you can't be successful. There are plenty of successful high eyes who manage to get through their tasks really, really well. And there's nothing fatal about being a high eye and not being good at focus or good at checking tasks off. And so hopefully some of the strategies we've given you today will help you get to that point where you can get through your task list and be even more successful than you are now.
I think it's really important to remember that high eyes can accomplish just as much as the other profiles. They just do it differently. And that's a really good thing to keep in mind too, is that there's somebody at another organization or at your organization who's reached the same level as you and done it in a completely different way.
Exactly.
And so we can all reach that level. We just have to focus our strengths and our energies on the things that will help to get us there.
Perfect. Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone. That's all for this week. We'll see you here next week.
If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store, or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manager Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manager Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want. With easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions, it couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're Manager Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manager Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.